now.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Hey, welcome to the Grilling Guys. This is Barbecue Bob. Jop is in a boat in the big water. And we're gonna do an Easter show here. Conrad's gonna sit in for Jop. Welcome to the show, Conrad.
Hey, good to be here.
So good to have you along.
Thanks. And boy, we got a pretty good connection for all that water between us and Joppers.
We do. And happy Easter to everyone. Right now on the grilling line, we have the one and only Jop in the water.
Well, I'm on the water, Bob. I don't want to be in the water. That's where the fish are. Yeah. But there aren't as many as there was. I'm happy to tell you that, I don't know, here, reel it in. Serious. Reel it in. I'm catching a fish right now. That's not radio bullshit. We're catching a fish right now. I'm going to net it with one hand. Pull it in, Randy. Here we go. We'll net that some bitch right now.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Got him. But anyway, yeah, that was not planned, but welcome. That I just picked up the phone and just caught a walleye with one hand. I'm live on the radio. Not lying, but anyway, that's fun.
Yeah, you don't want to lie. You don't want to lie.
Be down here on an Easter weekend.
You don't want to lie on an Easter weekend, especially.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, we're catching walleyes. We're jigging. I'm looking around me. There's probably 70, 80 boats out here, right where we're at.
And wow.
I'm sure there's many more.
Are you all tied up together? So you can share coffee?
No, we're not rafting. We're drifting, though. Got the drift socks out, and we're just riding the waves, man.
Are the
cool.
Are the fishermen giving you bad looks when you reel one in?
No, they're not that close. It's big water out here. We're not sitting on top of each other, but we are having fun and caught a fish. And my buddy Randy just reeled it in, and I netted it while we were on the air here, so. First fish of the day for me, but I think that's the third or fourth one in the box already. So
that
was fun.
That'd be like the third beer of the day, though, right?
Might be. Yeah.
So it's the Randy and Randy Walleye Expedition. I like it.
Yeah, and his son Eric's with us, too. So there's three of us in the boat, and we're having a good time. But that doesn't make news. But it's you guys enjoy your day, enjoy your Easter, and thanks for checking in with me.
Yeah, but, so overall, how's
to do.
Overall, so you're jigging on the bottom, you're drifting and jigging.
That's exactly it.
And it's pre-spawn in Lake Erie, and that's your best bet.
Yep, you got it. Then we're catching mostly males right now, but it's fun. They're not as big as they were last year. They're littler. I don't know, that one was probably maybe 20 inches. Hey, Randy, I got another one. Here, really, man, I'm still on. No, this is not lying, Bob. Now we're catching the second one while you're on the line. the net up yet.
Don't lose him. No pressure.
Got him. He's in the boat. Well, hey, you know, can you guys just stay on the line for about four more hours so that I can just keep catching fish? This is crazy.
Maybe we're bringing you good luck. Maybe we should stay live. Hey, I'll just let you know, I brought a cooler with me, and our good friends up at Sanders sent us a nice package, a styrofoam package, UPS, with some meat in it. So your long-coveted Dutch loaf is in a cooler in my Jeep right now, and I'll drop it off to Lisa on the way out of the studio.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. So you can report to us all how you can eat a piece live on the radio next weekend.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's great. You guys, you're in a good place.
Yeah, we are. We have a lot of fun, and I hadn't caught a fish till you guys dialed in, and now we caught two on my rod. So I guess I really can't say I caught them. I hooked them while we were on there, and somebody else reeled them in. I just netted it.
So what are you using for bait?
Minnows. They're lead head jigs, hair jigs. And with a little stinger hook on the back end, and tip it with a minnow and jig them off the bottom as you float across the water.
And how deep are you fishing right now?
We're at 13 feet.
I think that lake average is 11. So you're about you're about in with the average.
Yep, exactly. It's we found it. We fished up to 8 and down to like 17 in different spots as you drift over them, you know. But
yeah, it's just the habitat walleye happen to love.
Right.
And you're probably in Canadian or Ohio waters by now.
We're in Ohio. Yeah, we're in Ohio waters. And I do have an Ohio fishing license, Bob. So
that's a good. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. It makes it expensive fish if you don't.
Yeah, it sure does.
So you should be limited out in another couple hours, and you'll be headed in.
You get 6, right? So those are the. So you heard the first my two in the box. So yeah, you can get 6. So and, yep, Randy's got 3. So we got 5 fish in the boat right now, and we've been out here maybe an hour. So. Fun.
Well, that sounds cool. You going to be home by Easter?
Yeah. I'm going to fish through tomorrow and then shoot home for Easter on Sunday. You bet.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you have a great trip, and stay safe out there.
Yeah, smoke them if you got them, Randy. All right, have some fun.
You got it. You got it, Conrad. I'll do it.
All right.
Take care, guys.
See you later.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye.
We're just starting to lose the boy, too, weren't we? Just toward the end there. I think you were good luck, though, Bob.
I think it was probably the phone. Threw off the you know, whatever. Are you a walleye fan?
I am. I'm a huge walleye fan.
Do you like fishing for them?
I love fishing for
them. Where do you do that? Muskegon?
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty
I bet.
Much, yeah. Yeah, it's not too far away.
Right.
So steer away from Grand Haven a little bit. And
Well, the walleye are in Lake Muskegon and the mouth there.
Yeah.
Lots of them.
Yep.
And what's the water quality like in Lake Muskegon these days?
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Better than it was back when I was fishing as a young man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have done some cleaning up down there. And they're about to tear down one of those really big, I'm trying to think of the name of the factory that has just been rusting away for 30 years, and they're finally going to tear that thing.
Is that the pulp mill?
Yeah. Right down near Fricano's, and they're going to finally take that eyesore down.
That waterfront's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
they,
you know,
they're really making progress on
that
it.
If you're buying land, that Muskegon is the place to buy it because the development going along the lakeshore from South Haven, you know, and Grand Haven has been moving north for years, and Muskegon's the next place to explode.
The black eye is healing.
Yeah,
yep.
That's true.
That town's taken it on the chin for a long time. So when you do walleye at your house, who does it, you or your wife?
I do it.
Yeah.
I'll clean the fish and get them ready, and she'll cook them. So.
Well, I meant cook them. So
yeah.
she what's
oh, yeah.
her what's your favorite style? Fried.
Yeah, fried. Yeah.
Everybody likes
just
it fried.
A little cornmeal, you know, just something good, flour and... my wife is not into tartar sauce, but I'm a huge tartar sauce freak. Yeah.
It's so funny.
So she just,
you either like it or you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And this weekend was the final fish fries, for all of our friends on the west side of Grand Rapids. You know, last night was the final.
Sure.
And if you didn't experience the joy of a drive-through, drive up fish fry next year, pal. I'm telling you,
because really?
All those places all have their own little recipes.
Nice.
Very, very good. Shout out to Jackson Hall, Kashuka Hall, for all the goodies.
Really?
Oh, man. Really.
That sounds like an event.
It is. Oh, yeah. The Friday fish fries.
Every Friday, huh?
Yeah, every Friday. And, I mean, you couldn't name all the places
really?
In how long the show is, you know, to go and get some of that walleye or... Some people will advertise pollock or something like that, but very, very good.
Wow, that's incredible. We used to actually bake it a lot of times, and my wife would marinate it in milk and then bake it with lemon and thyme and sea salt.
Probably healthier for you.
It's really good. She loves it fried better.
Oh, yeah.
But I try to stay away from the fried, so I beg her to bake it. Beggar to make it.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Barbecue Bob and Conrad in for Jop. Our first segment just underway, and you got a lot of great Grilling Guys shows still to come.
You bet. Next up, we're going to talk with Big Paulie. So stay tight. Get yourself a coffee. We'll be back. Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, Michigan Talk Network, WBRN up in Big Rapids, and of course, live streaming and podcasted. Jop is gone, so Conrad's filling in for him today. Which he's always here anyway. He just happens to have his mic on this time. He doesn't have to try and fight us for time. Anyway, on the live line, one of our original board of directors, Big Paulie. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Bob. Good morning, everybody. How are you, pal?
Hey, just looking forward to having a great Easter with the family. It's, of course, probably the greatest Christian holiday on the planet. And, of course... We all have our certain rituals and things we do, and an Easter dinner is always a big part of that. And I just was wondering what the Rotella family was going to do.
Well, it certainly is. It's the whole reason for Christianity, actually. That and having your hands colored with egg dye. It's going to be a great Easter, as always, thank God. You know, we're very traditional, as you know. We're going to have bouillabaisse and French onion soup for Easter.
That sounds nice.
No, actually, we're simple. We're going to do a ham, we're going to do a leg of lamb, and we're going to do macaroni and cheese.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yep. Macaroni and cheese. Of course, is my favorite part.
Well, I bet Bonnie does an amazing mac and cheese. It's not people are thinking.
Does everything amazing.
Yeah, yes, some... some pretty authentic pasta and cheese there. That's going to be good.
Yep. It's a very busy time here. I don't know if you know, my son Billy is graduating medical school next month, and he's moving down to Philadelphia for his residency. So Bonnie's actually helping him out today. And, you know, it was kind of bittersweet last night. We said it was like his last night in the old Bailey boarding home.
Right.
Because he's moving out. He'll be going down to Philly. His fiance is also in Philly. And she's a resident in the emergency room at Cooper. And, you know, so we were kind of sad. But the good news is they're coming home tomorrow. And the whole family will be home tomorrow to celebrate Easter with us. So
if they get a vanity plate, it can be two docs.
That's a great one. I like it.
I have a cousin like that. Him and his wife are both doctors. And that's their plate, of course.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Well, it's funny because we're having ham and lamb.
Oh, well, you know, we're very, very traditional. You know that. But, you know, one of the things I miss, it's really weird. It got me thinking today. You know, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my mom used to make these rice pies. They used to call them pizza gain, very Italian. And they were like ricotta cheese and very sweet. But they were just really a fun Easter tradition.
And do you fry those?
No, you bake them.
Okay.
It's called the pizza game. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm really missing that. I feel bad because that's a tradition that, you know, when mom passed away, we don't have it anymore. So, you know, my wife, she's going to try and find a good recipe. And because it really wasn't a recipe. It was all done in your head.
Right.
And I kind of missed that. But that was a very big Easter tradition.
That's pretty awesome.
And then, you know, we make those bread with the eggs in it, the Easter bread. You know, and those things, you know, they were very, very old-fashioned. I think the old Italians did that. And also a lot of the old, you know, Eastern European countries celebrate it that way too.
You would just fold in some raw eggs before you bake the loaf?
Actually, no. You'd actually fold in a whole egg in, on top of the bread.
Right.
So you'd bake the bread, the egg. It would be right on top, like with a little cross of dough on top to hold it together on top of the bread. So the egg would cook while you were cooking the bread.
That must be a crispy egg by the time your bread's done.
Oh, let me tell you something. It wasn't bad, though. You know, one of the things, it cooked pretty quick, and people used to fight for having the egg. Usually you put three eggs on it, you know, in symbolism of the Trinity. And, you know, all these traditions go back thousands of years. But unfortunately, you know, it's a shame. You know, as I get older, I realize that those traditions, we got to keep them alive.
Right.
And it's really harder and harder to do every year.
Well, it is because, you know, you can't control who your kids marry, and you're bringing in different traditions, and some just have to go. Did your mom ever fold in pepperoni in that bread?
Oh, they would make something like that, too. That would be a different type of bread.
Yeah.
They would make those type of bread. That was the big thing. In Easter, you had all those, you know, beautiful breads, and, you know, they had all kinds of hams, and, you know, you'd have, what the heck was it called? There was one kind of a ham, I forget what it was called, that was folded in. And, you know, you would eat them like a meal. It was amazing.
My wife's family, growing up in the Detroit area, there's a lot of Italian bakeries, and they sell those. They call them sausage rolls. And
yeah, there's an Italian name for that. I forget what it is.
Yeah, they're a big favorite in our house as well. And some of them, it will even have cheese with it. They disappear in our house when the whole gang's in, because we get quite a gang these days with five kids and five spouses and, you know, grandkids. So you have to, I had to get a catering license just to feed them all.
Well, you don't need that. You're unofficially, you're banned from having any kind of licensing. You know that.
Well, actually, I have a catering license.
Well, I thought you lost that with that driving incident. I'm sorry. You know, it's funny you talk about families expanding. One of the neat traditions is we do something that comes from an old, I guess it's a, Czechoslovakian or something like that. My son Aris's wife, Laura, her family celebrates with something called a latke. And they bring this wafer and honey and, you know, peanuts and stuff like that and almonds. And, you know, it's very symbolic. The almonds are to remind you of the tough times ahead. The honey is the sweet times ahead. And the bread, of course, sustains life. And we do that before, you know, Christmas and Easter. Now we do those old Slovak traditions. Now, for the Rotellas, you know, we do very Italian traditions. So having this new one kind of was really neat.
Exactly what I was saying, and that is cool. So maybe you lose the rice cakes and you pick up the latke.
Exactly.
It's exactly. Okay. As long as it's alive in your memories. But almonds for tough times ahead, that's noted.
Yeah.
I'm going to stock up.
Well, you better, because we do have tough times ahead of us. Everybody knows that. But, you know, we're thankful for what... Oh, you'll get a kick out of this right now. Bob, I have a bald eagle flying over my house. I'm looking right at it. So the bald eagle says hello.
That's nice. Tell us the name of the lock. Tell us the name of the lake you're on again in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yes, Lake Wollumpaupack.
Wollumpaupack,
It's a big lake. It's got 60 miles of shoreline.
It's a big name.
Not big for you guys up there, but big for us.
Well, it's a big lake. Every time I'd see the sign when I was up in that area, I couldn't say it driving. It's like, oh, well.
You got to come by. Well, don't feel bad. You and Jay Leno. Jay Leno couldn't pronounce it either. That's
all
pretty
right.
Funny.
Well, listen, Paul, thanks so much for taking some time out of your morning. Say hello to the Eagles. No pun intended.
We got them all. You give my best to your family, too, Bob, and great talking to you. Give Jop my best. Tell him to keep fishing and keep catching walleye.
Yeah, well, just try and keep him in the boat. That'd be the main thing.
That's a good point. God bless you, brother. Happy Easter to everybody, and, you know, may the spirit of Easter and the peace of Christ be with everyone that's listening.
Oh, thanks, Paulie. We'll see you.
Take care, brother.
All right, love you.
Love you, too. Bye.
Okay. That is Mr. Paul Rotella, Board of Directors for the Grillin' Guys LLC, and an old friend of mine. He's formerly with the New Jersey Broadcasters Association. He's retired now, but Dave, I hope you get to meet him someday.
I hope so, too. These are all great folks. We are running out of time. We'll be back with another segment next on The Grillin' Guys.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. This is The Grillin' Guys. It's the Easter show, April 8th, 2023, year of our Lord, 2023. Celebrating Easter with some really special people. We got on the first segment, we got to listen to Randy out on Lake Erie catch a couple fish. We just had Big Paulie up, and now we're going to roll to a local man, an old friend of mine who is a retired Army major, college recruiter, college, who knows, probably the dean of war at Western. It's Major Steve Prince, who now is on a new journey called Warriors Set Free. He's helping wounded warriors across the world. And Steve, it's so nice to have you back finally.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be back.
So tell us what is going on with Warriors right now. On approaching Easter.
Yeah, so Warriors Set Free has been on quite a journey over the last, I think we're at 8.5 years. We've got a staff of 5 now, and we're a ministry ran by veterans to serve veterans. We use the term fighting for those who fought for us.
That's awesome.
And as we approach Easter, we're just reminded of the events that happened on Friday when Jesus was crucified. It didn't look good, and everybody that was there was looking around going, man, is there any hope? Is, you know, what do we have left? Our everything was just taken from us. And I look at a lot of the veterans that we've walked with through the years, and there a lot of them are in that situation. They come back from combat and they're not doing too well, and guys that are trained and gals that are trained to go off to war and fight our nation's battles aren't necessarily trained to come home and be great fathers or wives or parents. So no. Sometimes they lose the most precious things to them, their relationships.
Right.
And doesn't look like there's much hope. But
so from your perspective, you've got the catbird seat here. And you've been doing this 6-7 years, I believe.
Yeah.
What did you see from veterans just after our totally weird pullout from Afghanistan that sneaking out in the night and massive shock to the world that we all saw? What did you see as a result of the hearts of these warriors?
A lot of the guys, specifically the ones that had fought in Afghanistan, took that very personally. And so I had the honor of talking that through with a lot of them. And kind of the mindset that I encouraged them to take is that they did their job and they did it well when they were there. A lot like our Vietnam vets. They all did the best they could and won a lot of the battles. But it was the government that ultimately made poor decisions that led to the demise of the, you know, our efforts there. And so I use the example of I played high school football, and, you know, when I was there, we did our job, and we had great seasons. But how they're doing now doesn't affect me as much as how they were doing when I was there. So for those guys to still take pride in what they did and the time they did, and even if you look at it from, you know, what did Afghanistan gain from the time we were there? Well, we gave them a 20-year break of not having to live underneath the cruelty of the Taliban that runs that country. So even at a minimum, we gave them a 20-year break from pure evil. And unfortunately, there looks like they're back under that system again.
Yeah, and you don't see that in the news at all, surprisingly. I just thought of that. It's like, we don't know anything about what's going on there. It's not in the news, and probably by design. But
absolutely,
I can relate to the Vietnam portion you iterated, as my brother was in Vietnam and only made it 5 months. And I always wonder what that was for. And then I went in right after that, and there was no way I wanted a combat position. So I took a cool job and stayed, you know, in a wonderful environment, and didn't even think about exposing myself until about 3 or 4 years in. And then I started playing around with cross training, and I was going to go. Actually, it's really funny. I was working with some operators, and they wanted me to join them, and I was looking at the CCT real closely, but I'd have to re-up, and I really just was ready to come home and get some schooling in.
One great thing that's out there right now that I recommend everybody watch, that's got nothing to do with us, but it's called Send Me. It's a documentary about a lot of guys that went over to try and rescue as many people as they could before Afghanistan collapsed.
Yeah.
It's a great documentary that really kind of lets you see what the story that wasn't told about how the government dealt with that.
Well, I did not know about that, and I would love to watch that, because I remember tracking those guys and just praying for them, hoping that, you know, they could do some good. And there's no information like dispersed publicly. There's, you know, it's all buried, and I think our government doesn't want us to know how good those people did and what failures they did have, because it's on them. It's on the Pentagon or whoever decided to pull that trigger. No pun intended. But so what is Warrior Set Free doing now?
So Warrior Set Free walks pretty much individually with any veteran that wants to connect with us. We focus on helping them build their faith, heal from the past, and win life's battles, and just thinking about kind of the, probably a terrible analogy, but the movie I get to watch over and over again with these guys is when I first meet them, there's very little hope. You know, they've lost a lot. A lot of them are drinking too much, or they've lost their families, and then we get to walk alongside of them and at least build their faith and who they are, and really help them anchor themselves in Jesus instead of whatever it is that they're dealing with. So we've got one veteran right now. I met him about 2 weeks ago, and he just quit drinking. He was 4 days sober when I met him, and things aren't great with his wife, but now he's got 4 or 5 brothers in arms and brothers in Christ walking with him. I've been on vacation this week and still texting him, but we've got guys on the ground just building those relationships. So one of the kind of neat things that came out of all this is an acronym. You have to have an acronym because it's military, right?
Right.
I love the term. Everybody's on their own faith journey. And so our acronym spells TRIP. It's truth, relationships, identity, and purpose. And when you look at those four things, are we operating out of truth? Do we have strong relationships? Because life is about relationships. Your identity is how you view yourself. And we encourage people to look at how God views them, and then your purpose. Like, why are you here, and what are you trying to get done? And are you getting fulfillment from what you're doing with your life? So a lot of times if you hone in on those four things and really take a serious, honest look at them, and that's what we get to do with veterans and first responders as well, is kind of help them take an assessment of where they're at and walk with them as they grow in whatever area needs to be developed.
So,
and for most people, it's faith. You know, we're not brought up in strong faith like we used to be. So
a little background on Steve. Are you still doing these concealed classes?
I am, out of Holland.
Steve,
about once a month.
Steve gave me training 5, 8 years ago. I don't know what, but I've been carrying.
I've been carrying.
Yeah, Yeah. You also, and your daughter gave me a cat, and tell her Paisley is still very happy with us. Her and her daughter live in our garage. They have a private entrance and a heated garage, and they take care of all the varmints.
Not everybody that takes a pistol class gets a cat. So that one worked out good.
I still would love to talk about
Prince Arming.
Prince Arming. I would still love to talk about having a woman's defense class out on my property. I've got a lot of women interested. We just need to pick a date and put it on the map and throw a dart and get something going.
Yeah, I've got some friends in Cedar Springs want the same thing, so we can combine them.
That'd be great.
And I also need extra help on the range that day.
Well, this has been wonderful. Steve Prince, Warrior Set Free, on your way back from Florida. Thanks so much for taking time with us, and you're awesome, dude.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear you, too. All right, bye-bye.
Blessings.
All right, that's Warrior Set Free, Steve Prince. I met him, I think, at Alan Bob's years ago. He was collecting used weapons for trade-in hunters. This is the Grilling Guys. We're going to come back with what to do with that ham that's left over. So we'll see you in a minute.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Alan Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Alan Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Alan Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Also on thegrillingguys.com is our website. It's a great resource for recipes. If you've never been to thegrillingguys.com, there's only one G in there between there. There's all our sponsors. There are links to hook up for the podcast. We'll send this show to your phone or your computer free. No strings attached. We're not going to harass you. There's a listen live button on the bottom, and it takes you right to Jethro FM's streaming service, which is where we put the show together and put it out on all their stations, and then the Michigan Talk Network, and of course WBRN up in Bulldog Country. So make sure you check out those sponsors on the right, because there are always deals there. It's that time of the year to maybe look at grills. I would be heading over to that Garrett's link and see what they're putting up, because especially if you want a good grill, you can get a cheap grill at any big box store. I would tell you to maybe hold off and save your money and either buy a used one through Salvation Army and rebuild it, or a real one, or save up for a halfway decent grill with a better purveyor like Garrett's. So you can find people like them. You can, of course, hit MyPillow.com. There's all kinds of specials from MyPillow. The Thermopen, which every griller has to have. And, of course, anyway, I want to, I guess, just get on to what to do with that leftover ham. Everybody has a tradition for, at least old school cooks have traditions for ham bones. Does your wife do anything with that?
I think she saves it for soup.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Does she have a favorite, or do you have a favorite she makes with it?
No. You know, it's mostly, the white bread Sammy's for that,
right,
that whole week, you know, with the leftovers.
Right. But it's like Thanksgiving.
Show, you last week you were talking on the show about the hams from the lady in Custer.
Yes.
And you said that she sent you a little Goodwill
box. Yes. I got a ham, and Jop got a big Dutch loaf. It's in my car right now. So I'm going to drop that in
this
house.
That was the big joke last week about the Dutch loaf.
Well, he went on and on about it. So she called me up and she said, I want to send him a Dutch loaf. And I said, that'd be great.
Yeah, so it's like garlic.
I have no idea. It's a monster. It's a big old log. Wow. So maybe he'll share a slice with you.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we're doing Easter at my son Jordan's house, and his wife, I told her I wanted to bring over some of this ham because I'll be smoking it tomorrow morning. And she was all thrilled with that. She said she loves pea soup.
Oh yeah.
She's a wonderful girl from St. Clair Shores area. And not a lot of young people like pea soup, but her grandma was a caterer, and she used to cook for the Ford family. So she's quite the exquisite. Their family,
pea soup.
They're big foodies. So I guess her grandma's an amazing chef.
So bring me some big ham bones is what she's trying to tell you.
I told her I'd bring it to her as well as a nice chunk of ham. Because once you taste one of these, dude, you can have these sent to your house. This is going to be a commercial for these guys. It's called Sanders. It's in Custer, Michigan. They will send them to your house. What I got was this big styrofoam cooler with ice packs in it, dry ice.
So nice.
And a beautiful piece of ham and a beautiful piece of Dutch loaf. And they'll just ship it out. So anybody can get one.
You know, it's weird how I looked it up after the show last week. Hooligans, right in Fruitport, which is down the road from me. Nutica Spring Lake area, so I've got them.
Oh, they sell the hams there?
They sell them right there.
Well, sure. Dude, so they tell you have to finish it off because around the bone it might not be fully cooked. And they're massives. We used to call them regulars at Van and Brink's. She called it, I don't know, special.
Okay.
But it's the whole ham, unnetted, un-everything. And it's just a big piece of meat with a giant bone in it. So you'll have to bake it. I did the one I did for my other daughter-in-law, I did for, I'm going to say 4 or 5 hours, low smoke, and I kept basting it.
Scored it first.
I did, yeah. I didn't do the pineapples and cloves. I don't care for any of that on it, but I did use pineapple juice, brown sugar, and mustard, and that was fantastic glaze. But yeah, I can't wait to do this one tomorrow. I'm excited.
Wow.
And then my daughter-in-law is making a rack of lamb. I told you her grandma was quite a chef, and this girl's only 26, and she can do a rack of lamb.
That's cool. That's very cool.
I'm excited.
You got to have the butter shaped like the lamb, though. That was the important thing in our household.
Oh, really?
So, oh, yeah. Yeah,
really?
You get those west side, best side of Grand Rapids. Sure.
Where?
Levandusky's, I know, has them.
Really?
Tim probably does.
Okay, I'm going to run over and grab one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's too cool. Ham and bean soup is what I like. My mother used to love pea soup. My dad loved pea soup, I should say, so my mother made it. But are you a bean soup guy?
Sure, why not?
I love anything with beans in it. But bean soup's really nice, It's really simple. You don't have to make it complicated. You have to have a nice ham bone. And do not try and do it with one of these honey glazed or any of these sweet ones. It's you can't do that. Mm. Just use a regular ham bone. I like Great Northern beans, but you can use a combination of Pinot, Great Northern, whatever you want. Thyme, chicken stock, of course, salt. Some cloves, go easy on the cloves, lots of celery, of course, carrots, onion, and then that giant bone. And that's the meat of the deal right there. And that ham bone, if you chef like I do, you don't go nuts trying to clean the meat off that bone. You're working. You're trying to get the meat off, and you know, there's plenty of it left on the bone. So when you're cooking the ham, those little pieces disintegrate and fall off, and that gives you your savory flavor.
Oh, man, that sounds really good.
It is really good.
Wow.
And, of course, you want to do saltine crackers when you do bean soup.
Oh, okay.
Because it'll create a fart factory. Another great use for it is potato soup. Are you a fan of that?
Yeah, I like potato soup,
My wife makes fantastic potato soup. And that's a really similar process. Again, you're cooking the bone down using. We get the boxes from Costco of chicken broth or chicken bone broth or whatever you prefer. But I would say the mistake I've made in the past was using, one time I used red potatoes. You don't want to use red potatoes for potato soup. The Yukon Gold are texture and preservation or whatever, integrity of the thing. And then it's butter, heavy cream, salt, pepper, cayenne, thyme, chives. It's just goodness. Garlic, of course. And that is another fantastic use for ham bone. And then if you want, you can put it in little crock bowls, and you can put some mozzarella or provolone on top, cheddar, whatever you like. Throw it in the broiler for a couple of minutes, and you got people begging for buttermilk.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Pardon me.
It's not good for the diet.
No. Well, that's what I'm on right now.
Me too.
I'm kind of curious about a smoked ham. I mean, how good are we talking here?
Well, you've had them before. A lot of the hams you buy are smoked.
Okay.
The big processors. And even like Sobe, you know, they have these big racks they roll into smokers. It's part of the curing process. That's the old school way of curing, you know, celery salt and smoke and heat. And that's all you need to brine it. But I'm telling you, when you pull this thing off the smoker, this one from Sanders anyway, the first one I did, I was in disbelief. I've never had a ham that good in my life. I'm 65. I've had a lot of ham.
Yeah.
My waistline shows it. I would tell anybody who really wants to try a cool experience and be really proud of something you bring off your smoker. You don't have to do it start to finish. They've already got it started. All you need to do is lightly smoke it for about 4 hours at a low temp and get that internal up to about 165, 170. And you're gonna just kill. It's gonna
be
so good.
I remember, you know, growing up, the nasty hams where they would be, vacuum packed with all the jelly inside,
in a can,
and I was not interested in that at all. You know, I was like, I don't know about that. So.
I think those are Polish hams generally.
Yeah,
that was a big Polish thing.
My dad, who by the way is about a mile from us over here at the American House, old folks home. He would do spam all the time. I was so sick of spam. When there was a time in between wives where it was just the two of us for about 3 years.
You know what? I will stand by the affinity for that product. If you saw my pantry, you'd see a bunch of it stocked up for the emergency food. And you could do worse. Hey, thanks for joining us. Happy Easter. God bless you all. And we will talk to you next week.